A former state petroleum economist is speaking out against the state's current plan for building a gas line from the North Slope to the lower 48. Roger Marks worked for several state governors, most recently for Frank Murkowski, trying to get a gas pipeline project moving. He is now retired. But in a recent article for the Journal of Economic Issues, he details several problems he sees with the Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act, or AGIA. Right now, TransCanada and ExxonMobil are working to launch a pipeline project under the state's AGIA license. Marx's main point in the article is that AGIA doesn't give the gas producers, BP, ConocoPhillips, and Exxon, enough incentive to make the project work.
It sets up some commercial conditions that are antithetical to the interests of the shippers.
While TransCanada works under the AGIA process with Exxon, BP and ConocoPhillips are collaborating on a competing project called Denali. Marks says neither entity is spending enough money in anticipation of the open season process when the gas producers agree to ship their gas in the line, allowing the gigantic project to secure financing. Marks says if the producers do commit any gas during TransCanada's open season, it is likely to come with conditions.
The conditions might be, you know, the state has to change its taxes, or we don't like the way TransCanada has configured the project. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things. They could submit conditional bids, and at which point, you know, there could be some negotiations, and those negotiations could be fruitful or not fruitful. And so at the end of the day, and those could even take years. So, you know, I guess I am fairly confident, at least at the first level, they will not receive, you know, a sufficient amount of gas committed unconditionally that TransCanada can take the commitments to FERC and to the bank to get financing and to get the FERC license.
A lot of observers think the TransCanada Exxon project will eventually merge with the Denali project by BP and ConocoPhillips. Do you think that prediction is accurate, or is that wrong?
There are conditions within AGIA that are antithetical to the commercial interests of, you know, not only ConocoPhillips and BP, but Exxon too. You know, ultimately the shippers or the producers pay all the costs. So anything TransCanada agrees to do gets passed into the tariff structure, which is ultimately paid by the shippers. TransCanada will make money on cost overruns. The producers will lose money on cost overruns because they ultimately pay the cost. So there's a big incentive for the producers to build the pipeline themselves just to contain costs because they ultimately pay the bills. Number two, because of the AGIA structure where, you know, the state picks up 50% of the tab before open season and 90% after and only up to $500 million, It makes sense for TransCanada to spend money after the open season. And, you know, the way you get a good cost estimate is spending money. And one of the significant causes of cost overruns in these big projects is not spending enough earlier to narrow the uncertainties. You ask, could these projects merge? They could, but there would have to be some huge attitude shift on someone's part to want to make that go.
There's been a lot of talk recently of shale gas reserves in the lower 48 and how that supply might make Alaska's gas unnecessary. What's your assessment of that?
I think that's absolutely astute. No, I think that's a big concern. I mean, it's coming on gangbusters. They find more and more of it every day. It doesn't require the huge capital costs. And even if the per unit costs, may or may not be a little higher than the Alaska cost, the fact that you don't have to lay out the billions and billions and billions of dollars to sell your first molecule certainly gives it a leg up. And it's something that's just one of the stark realities about the commercial landscape for this project.
Do you think Alaska will ever see a gas line?
You know, I don't like to predict the future. I would, you know, in my opinion, I would say, you know, in terms of a dedicated gas pipeline, either LNG or the lower 48, I would say it's the chances less than 50-50. You know, there are other options for commercializing the gas. There's gas to liquids for sure, where you convert the gas to a very clean diesel product, and you could put it into taps. And that would, you know, extend the life of taps. It would lower the tariff on taps. And most importantly, in my perspective, you can scale up. You don't have to spend, you know, the $30, $40 billion to sell your first molecule. You can start small, or you can start big and see how it goes. So even if there wasn't the big gas pipeline, it doesn't mean the gas couldn't be commercialized in a way where both the producers and the public could make a great deal of money.
Roger Marks speaking with APRN's Laurie Townsend. Marks wrote a recent article for the Journal of Economic Issues called Why America May Not See Alaska Natural Gas Soon. Although TransCanada has not applied for any of the $500 million the state has set aside for the project, the Department of Revenue and TransCanada estimate that the company will spend $142 million on the project before the open season next May.